welcome to the IAA Mobility Visionary Club here in Munich, live from the IAA Messegelände. We have a very special guest today. We are going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart, Navigation, a company that's been around for a few minutes but has changed a lot in the last couple of years. So I'm very pleased to introduce my guest here on stage, the VP of Product Management, Traffic and Travel Information at TomTom. Welcome, Ralph Peter Schaefer.
Hello, welcome. Nice to having me in Munich.
It is nice to have you in Munich. Welcome. We were talking earlier about how we have both spent some time in Berlin. Munich is the home of IAA now. And I want to talk because TomTom is a company that's been around for a minute. It's changed a lot. But before we dive into our discussion, can you break down a little bit about yourself, TomTom? What are you doing now? Give us the overview.
Yeah. So thank you for having me here in Munich. Nice to meet you. And let me first introduce myself. I'm running now product for traffic and travel information in TomTom. I'm nearly 20 years around in the company, have done a lot of different jobs in engineering and research.
You've been there 20 years.
20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I really have been there for all the transformations, the times of growth with the sat-nav devices, but also I have seen all the transformations where we are today. And I think we can talk about this.
Yes.
Myself, I'm based in Berlin, very exciting city. And I'm from heart, I'm a traffic engineer. And I'm building products around the navigation map, software, and services. You can utilize a navigation to go from A to B in a safe, comfortable, and fast way. But we are also building products around our data to helping governments and partners to work on smart cities, smart infrastructure, and working with partners in the public sector. So it's a nice theme on transformation in TomTom, but also we want to transform cities, but also transform to automation, electrification. Let's talk about this.
Let's talk about this. Okay, so when I was learning to drive, did you have more to say? Did I interrupt you?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the core of TomTom is navigation, and it is still the same. When I joined, I was employee number 400.
Okay.
It was a wave of growth. We invented the sat-nav as the first company in the world, put it on in a fair in Hannover, 2004, and after 4 years, we became a $1 billion company in revenue, coming from 50, from 8 million revenue with 50 people, and I was employee number 400. Think about it, in 4 years, such a wave of growth.
That's right? Wild.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And of course, the heart is navigation, and this remained the focus in the company. But we transformed. Transformed it, and in two waves, we built products around navigation, supporting automotive, enterprise, and now also public sector around navigation, mapping, and software development.
When I was learning to drive, the TomTom was like a little thing that went in your car. It was an external device, and it gave you directions, but it wasn't even like part of the dashboard. If anyone has not got a new car, what does TomTom look like now? What is the experience as a customer?
So the sat-nav boxes we shipped 15 years back, this is not a core business anymore. What is interesting, there's still a loyal community of very old people like me. They are still buying this.
Wait, you still have one?
I still have one on my screen. But
there's
still a business, but it's not the core anymore.
Okay.
So we transformed in a B2B company. And what remained is the focus on navigation.
Yeah.
It's our bread and butter business. And we bought TeleAtlas, the mapping company, 2008. We bought an in-dash software department from Siemens VDO in 2009. And we also bought a fleet management startup in 2006, where we started transformation, invested our capital we got from the sat-nav growth into something new. So we went deeper in the automotive domain, in the in-dash. We worked on fleet management for many, many years. And there was a theme how we can create a flywheel to make real-time maps, real-time services, and build the relevant software, full stack, but also helping companies with components. Mm. And this we built consequently from 2007 to explore the transformation we went in the car in Indesh. We developed a real-time traffic service, and we created a flywheel data ecosystem where we grew a lot of community to today 600 million connected users globally. It's not so well known because many of those projects happening white labeled. Do you know that we are a market leader in traffic with 70% market share in Europe, and we're harvesting data from the community? That's one of the secrets why we are so much in leadership, and we can build fantastic services in the navigation space. We're helping a lot of big tech companies, working with Microsoft, with Uber, and other big tech in the mapping domain, software, and services. But also we're harvesting a lot of data we can utilize and build products. Not only in navigation, but also growingly in the domain of transformation of cities. We have a massive information about how people move, when they move, where they move, route choice model, traffic demand, modal split. So all the things which is very relevant also for smart cities.
Mm. Which cities or countries do you see leading the way in using all of this data that you guys have? Who's at the forefront?
I wouldn't say it's specific regions. We are a global company. Mm-hmm. Our mapping solutions are in over 100 countries. In my domain for traffic and services, we are live in 85 global markets. It's really a global business.
Wow.
But for navigation, the automotive industry is global. That's a global thing. But if I look to transformation pace, there are some differences, right?
Okay.
So congestion remains a problem. Every year, for 10 years or 12 years, we're doing a traffic index. We measure congestion for 500 cities around the globe, and we compare. Mm-hmm. And there's congestion is a problem.
Wait, yeah. What's the worst?
Yeah, the worst was city in Colombia last year.
Okay.
In the emerging markets, in India is very worst traffic. But we're also seeing a rebound effect after COVID. COVID was free of congestion because
right.
people had to sit home, but now it's coming back, but in a bit different flavor. Classic cities we had pre-COVID in the top ranking are not still there because there was one impact and learning, hybrid mode of working. Mm-hmm. So people can work from home.
Right.
And if they're from home, they don't travel on the road. That means we have less demand. And we're seeing differences pre and post-COVID.
Okay.
However, the trend for congestion remains. Some cities made a better job. So I want to name a few very good cities yeah. which really front running.
Let's talk about the winners. Yes, yeah. Name some names.
Yeah, Copenhagen.
Okay.
A long journey of transformation. Very consequently deployed alternatives. I saw a couple of years there was an ITS World Congress in Copenhagen, and I saw first time bike jams. Bike jams like on the road, right? That is really mind blowing, and it's a result of a consequent transformation process, right? Have a balance between road transportation, transit, and bikes, right? And this is, you need, of course, good political objectives, mm-hmm. but you also need good technology and the willingness to deploy and use data to make good decisions, good investments to have the most impact.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so Copenhagen's leading the way. A skeptic might say, hey, that's a small city that's really flat and quite wealthy.
Yeah.
What can some place like Mumbai learn from that? What?
Yeah. So in general, what we're seeing when we deployed products using our data in a different domain, we have a whole suite of traffic analytics products and location analytics products where we utilize probe data and user-based information in a fully anonymous way. How people move, mm-hmm. where are the congestion hotspots, safety hotspots, and we have tools to help decision making. So how people drive, what is the impact when you change infrastructure? What's the impact if you have a new transit line? So we can really have tooling to give them decision support. If you invest $1 billion for a new subway line or metro, what will be the expected impact on demand change? Because we can measure demand very precise because the data are everywhere coming from a connected car and from connected phones, applications. So data are there at massive scale, right?
I imagine that governments and municipalities are very interested in getting that data. How do you collaborate with them? What does that look like?
So in the last 7 years, we built a whole ecosystem of APIs and services to help governments. We have business all over the world, in the US, in Europe. Here in Germany, the German Autobahn authorities, the highway agency, using our data for traffic management, for routing people, giving information in the same way we use in the navigation systems in the car, in all the big brands, we also having business. And in the government specifically, we are utilizing data in real time, but also in looking backwards to learn from the past, how people behave in the last 2 years in a certain cities, in a certain corridor, on a certain junction. We're going really in a microscopic level to understand delay pattern, how people drive, what's the traffic demand, and what you can change on a microscopic corridor, city, and national way to transform.
I'm wondering, Ralph Peter, if you could give an example of how this data has helped a public agency reconfigure a road or a network to better serve residents. I mentioned earlier, I live in London. They recently opened the Elizabeth line, which goes from, you know, Heathrow Airport. I think it goes even further. I think it goes from Reading to like deepest East London. And it's life-changing because you can get into the city in 20 minutes. And I actually take more journeys than I used to because it's like, well, it's easy. I'll just go into town and I'll be home in 20 minutes.
I give you three examples.
Yeah.
Number one, to this use case.
Yeah.
So what we can do today, we have so many data from the community, but also our partners, and we can analyze what is the traffic demand at every hour of the week, how people going from A to B. Mm-hmm. And then we can look what's the congestion level on a certain corridor, and we work with simulation company like PTV or Aimsun to simulate certain impact if I would change my infrastructure. So I build a subway line so I can simulate the future coming from the status quo of today, what we call a traffic demand pattern, origin destination. They put it in a model and they tune up the parametrization and anticipate the change of the future. Mm-hmm. And then I can really simulate a bang for buck decision and drive a change. And then I invest, and then I hopefully have a good job in the simulation, and I have the expected impact. But also what we can do now, we can measure pre-post analysis, and if something was not going too well, we can learn on the fly for the next project. So learning in the loop is an important topic for us.
Okay, how do you incorporate consumer preference? Because, for example, if I'm using the subway or the tube in London, I will always prefer in the summer the line that has air conditioning, even if it makes the journey longer. How do you take that into account when you're measuring?
So this is more what a comfort level. It must be part of the simulation model. This is not our core business. Here we're working with partners. They're building complex simulation models with factoring in all the impact on traffic demand. And traffic demand is a very complex thing. It has to do with demographic factors, with the infrastructure in different modes of transport, bike, road transportation, and transit. And then they can anticipate, if they're doing this job well, what's the future. But it's very complex.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying you will not make it right in the first shot.
Okay.
You have to continue to learn. It's important. So far, we built also now products where we can measure the impact. An example, the congestion we launch every year is now a product. We just launched a product, the congestion index, you can build your own in time and space. So we can measure the impact. If you change something, it can be a traffic light change on a short term, on a daily pattern, but even long-term changes on infrastructure, on building a new district, a new line of transit, what is the impact? So we can make congestion in an hourly resolution, weekly, daily, monthly, or even annual resolution. So really learning impact pre-post analysis of a decision.
I'm curious, you know, you've talked a lot about data. It is complex. I'm glad this is your job and not mine, because it's challenging to wrap your head around every aspect of it. And I'm wondering if you sometimes encounter mindsets where people are not quite ready. What are the biggest challenges in terms of mindset or organizational blockers to incorporate this data-driven mentality in decision-making?
It's a very good question, a very good point. So transformation is not easy. Even for a company like TomTom, it's a complex project, and the government's even more complex. You have to really get rid of old procedures and thinking, right? And working with data is a very different thing. Working with infrastructure, putting a camera or a loop detector or an infrared detector in the on the ground, it's a very different thing. That means really political willingness and objectives as well to change, because technology is a tool. It's only a tool, but there must be an objective function, how I want to change, what I want to achieve. That is a political decision as well, right? This is a very fundamentally important. And then you need the right people to transform as well and have the willingness to transform.
Yeah. Change is hard. I mean, you still have your old TomTom device, right? Like we all cling to what we know.
Give another example of change. Recently, we changed our complete strategy, how we build our map. We joined a consortium with Microsoft, Meta, and Amazon to build an open source map called Overture. Mm-hmm. And we have now suddenly, after 2 years, 100 members, and we're building in a joint investment the best base map in the world. Mm-hmm. We have seen doing this alone as TomTom, we can't succeed. It's so complex, it's so fast moving with the complexity of automation, with the granularity in the map. Also, my services became much more granularity. So we joined a consortium, we're sharing investment and pace, and we're building on top layers which are relevant for certain industry. And then we can still monetize. But the baseline is a shared ecosystem. They can go much faster and have a better baseline map.
Have you already started to see fruit from that collaboration?
Absolutely. We have now a map which is fully changed from the past. Our own map is not anymore in our own application. Last month, we launched our new TomTom app on Android and iOS, and it's fully deployed with our latest software and the Orbis map, which is on the foundational model of Overture, the open source map. That's really real, it's reality, it's working, and combines all the assets on the path of transformation. Mapping, software SDK, and services where I'm sitting for many, many years.
For me as a customer, a lot has changed for TomTom. You're a B2B company. We've talked about some of the changes. You've been around. You've had an up-close seat to them over the last 20 years. Look into the future for us. What do you see being the biggest opportunity ahead?
Yeah, the biggest opportunity for TomTom is obviously the transformation of the car ecosystem, automation, ADAS, and electrification. And there we're building products on the mapping side. With high granularity, we have not only a base map, there's an ADAS map with all the features like lane level, connectivity, gradient, curvature, always relevant to have a good and comfortable driving, even if you drive in autopilot or in full automation, that you have all the ingredients at high resolution and granularity you need. And we have also a high definition map for autonomous driving. Mm. That is a big challenge to build, but also it's a good challenge to have as a company to innovate continuously. That is one thing. On top, you need good software, also to have services to support automation, safe driving, have the right horizon, complementary to the sensors in the car, which at the moment working 150 to 200 meters very safe. But if you want to look ahead, you need a map. You need services like hazard warning, horizon, speed information, because speed, traffic, and hazard, there's a triangular relationship in if you drive really safe, right? That's why we have a strong emphasis, bringing all the assets, the map, software, and services in an harmonized ecosystem.
There's a lot that goes into it. Ralf Peter, we've talked about the past. We've talked about the future. Now we're going to talk about you and end this on a personal note. I would love to know, As an engineer who's building these incredibly complex maps with so much data that cities are relying on, what is your favorite city to drive in?
My favorite city is still Berlin, my hometown. I love it. Of course, there are also I travel a lot, right? And I what I like on traveling, it opens your brain, right? You see different culture, but also how people differently approach challenges, right? You can also give tips, but also you learn when you travel around and you see the challenges. smart cities is a global challenge, right? And congestion is obviously a global challenge. And I can help as a traffic engineer with my background and my huge experience. I can support those processes. And this is very exciting. It's very tangible. Everybody has an idea because everybody has a certain sense to drive, move a car. And so that's always a good talking point when you tackle those problems and challenges.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you tackling those problems. We wish you the best of luck for the future. Thank you for being our guest, Ralf-Peter Schaefer from TomTom here on the IAA Mobility Visionary Club. A round of applause for our guest.
Thank you.